Now let us listen to Luke verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Lydia. On this Advent Sunday, when we focus on God's promise of peace, we read from Isaiah's beautiful vision of the peaceable kingdom. We think of angels singing peace on earth, goodwill to all. I struggled a little bit with what to say. There seems to be so little peace in our world right now. Leslie Schultz is writing in the Advent reflection insert that you have in your bulletin to take home for the week, raises up the terrible violence of war happening right now in Gaza and Israel. And of course, there is so much more. As I named in my prayer, Ukraine, Russia, civil wars in Myanmar, South Sudan, Yemen. There's so much violence and suffering and death in our world. So much anger, hate, vengeance. So much polarity and division. So we long for peace and we pray for peace in a world which seems to offer us very little peace. Leslie calls us to reflection and action. She urges us to be peacemakers and to do something this Advent Christmas season. And to take action, to act with nonviolence in our violent world, I would remind us that there's a lot of inner work we have to do along the way. The work of learning to recognize our emotions, to soothe and settle our reactivities, to make space for what we're feeling and not just get controlled by it, to be able to choose how we respond. It takes openness, it takes prayer and discipline, it takes the ongoing work of forgiveness, it takes owning our own biases, our retaliatory impulses, our violent urges. We need God's Spirit, God's power, to be able to forgive, to reconcile, to love our enemies. It's hard work, deep work, and we have to do it over and over and over again. I was reminded yesterday at the Jubilee Singers concert by the one person who shared a little bit about how The civil rights marchers would gather to sing spirituals before they went out to march. They needed to get ready for nonviolent action. So as this Peace Sunday calls us to consider how the Spirit may be leading us to the deep work of peacemaking, we have this story of Mary to consider. How do they connect? It strikes me that this was a very private, personal moment, Mary's encounter with Gabriel. And it was an encounter that really had no visible public impact on the world for at least 30 years. God works in long term. Christian tradition calls this moment the Annunciation, Gabriel's announcement to Mary of God's plans for her. But I want to insist that it was not just an announcement, not just God through Gabriel informing Mary of what was going to happen. It was a conversation, a dialogue. Mary had agency. Gabriel treated her with respect. His greeting made Mary perplexed, pondering, what on earth could this mean? This angel showing up and saying, greeting, favored one, or those of you raised Catholic, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Gabriel's response to her reaction was, don't be afraid. Have you noticed that that is what angels pretty much always say in the Bible when they show up? Don't be afraid, which leads me to believe that if an angel shows up, I probably first will be afraid. They're not just sweet little cherubs flying around here. Angels, when they show up, tend to be awe-inspiring. They shine with heavenly light or something. It's very mysterious. It's not our normal experience. So they have to keep saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when God breaks into your life. Don't be afraid when something way bigger than you suddenly seems to be happening. Don't be afraid no matter what is going on in your life and in the world. Don't be afraid even when there is war and violence and division, because God is with you. I've said it before, and I didn't do the counting. Someone promises us that there are 365 sayings of don't be afraid in the Bible, one for every day of the year. And then Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to get pregnant. Not exactly the kind of news she probably was hoping for as a young woman, not yet married. Her response, if you translate it literally, is, how can this be since I haven't been with a man? Now, this, of course, led to a big conversation in Bible study Tuesday night. Those of you who were part of it. Those who were quite clear about the biological impossibility of the virgin birth, and who feel like insisting on this and passing it on to our children just sets them up for a crisis of faith down the road. And then some of us who may be a little more open to the possibility that something outside of ordinary biology might have happened with Mary. I love that Linda Nicholson lands in that camp. Miracles, virgin birth, don't bother the quantum physicists. But wherever we land, however we read this story and hear this story, there is so much truth and wisdom here, however literally or metaphorically you want to take it in. There's so much imagery and metaphor to play with. God, divine, mystery breaks in. She learns God wants to do something amazing. God wants to use her to be the mother of the chosen one, the Messiah, that her people have been hoping and praying for generations. And her response was, how can this be? It was not Zachariah's, this cannot be. Mary's response is more curiosity and wonder, I think. How? How are you going to do this, God? Gabriel speaks, and it brings the sense of mystery and awe. Gabriel says that somehow the Spirit will move unseen, unheard, and yet be powerful, life-changing. And then Mary responds, "Let it be with me according to your words." Let it be. That's the same verb that God uses in Genesis at the beginning of creation when God says, "Let there be light. Let there be life. Let there be an earth. Let there be a universe." So when Mary says, "Let it be with me," she becomes co-creator with God. I love that thought. Mary said yes. She had choice. She had free will. And she chose to join God in this creation of something new. She chose to be open. She chose love over fear. And in her yes, in her let it be, the Spirit was able to move and began to do a new thing. So here's some questions for us today. Where might God be trying to speak to us? Where might God be trying to break into our lives? Where do we need to really hear, "Don't be afraid, the Lord is with you"? What new thing is the Spirit wanting to do in us? What pregnancies are stirring in us? What hopes, what visions is God calling us to embrace in the depths of our beings, to nurture in our wombs? What would it mean for us to say, "Let it be for me according to your will, God"? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me, in us, here among us. Mary's yes set something in motion. Her let it be began the great work of God revealed in Jesus the Christ. And Luke wants us to see and understand from the beginning that this baby was special, holy, set apart, sent from God, a revelation somehow of the very nature of God that chose to come as a tiny baby, a child, brought to life through the yes of a poor young peasant woman of Galilee. Again, God works in the ordinary, the unlikely, the unexpected people. And God moves in quiet and mysterious, hidden ways so much of the time. No one but Mary saw or heard this revelation. There was no external proof or validation. There was only her experience, her conviction that God had spoken to her and that this baby was from God. And yet, her yes became the good news of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah who refused the ways of violence and war, the Savior whose work of healing and reconciliation always occurs in changed hearts that lead to changed lives, that keep on working to change our world. The famous old desert father, Isaac of Syria, "Make peace with yourself, and heaven and earth will make peace with you. Take pains to enter your innermost chamber, and you will see the chamber of heaven, for they are one and the same." Author David James Duncan, in his novel Sun House, which my husband is just starting to read, and found this and shared it with me. That quote from Isaac of Syria. And then the characters going on to say, of course, no inner chamber in us, no starry sky solves our outward earthly problems or even addresses its causes. But what if the way through the unending sadnesses of our world, the long wars, the short lives, congressional drivel, traffic, what if the way through was never a matter of solving anything? What if it was always a matter of how small even our greatest sadness feels when you can sit down without hope or fear, breathe in the darkness no matter how deep, and keep on breathing till the blackness opens into heaven's starry chamber and you realize, my God, I've got infinite inside. God in us, us in God, infinite peace.